Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're continuing our CIT Origins series with Andrew, our customer strategy advisor. Joining us is Kyle, our CEO and president, and Todd, our COO and CISO, to speak about becoming an AI-first company. So before I throw it to Andrew, I'm actually going to ask Kyle, our visionary, what does AI first mean?
Well, it's obviously big time, simple thing, but I would say at the 10,000 foot view of it is that you're looking to incorporate AI into all aspects of how you operate your business side of those. It's just having that thought process to say, how can AI help us with this? And using that approach to help enhance all parts of the business, both people and systems and processes. That's the way I vision.
Very simple, very straightforward. Todd, anything you want to add to that from your side of the house?
I'll expand on it a little bit. I mean, as Kyle's the visionary, that's what we're going for. From my perspective, as we're going down this path, I tend to be more of the implementer. What I'm trying to do is get my arms around AI's here, right? And if as an organization, we should be thinking about what that means. And since that's happening, our philosophy is people are probably already using it. So what are we going to do to make sure that we're embracing it appropriately? And that could be anything from building policies of saying, here's the do's and don'ts, and it's the training that goes with it. But really, ultimately, what it is we're trying to encourage the use of it throughout the organization. Like anything else, there's basically a bell curve on what adoption looks like. But that's what it means to me is, how do we start to embrace this? How do we start to find ways to say, this is going to help us move forward for our goal for the organization?
Well, Andrew, I know you came prepared with some deeper dive questions, so I'll kind of throw it over to you.
Thank you. I did have a couple of questions. So going back to like CIT Origins, I kind of think of, if you want to talk about Todd and Kyle, your first experience probably is a little different than other business leaders outside of the technology industry. But can you kind of talk about like your first exposure or first insight of like today's version of AI with large language models?
It's, obviously ChatGPT is the first exposure as that kind of went through, you know, immediately going and kind of taking a look at, you know, first the website and then the mobile app was a little slower to kind of come out to go through. But you could see, you know, as you're using it that, okay, this is going to change things. This is going to dramatically change things. And that didn't take a lot of revolution, but you could early see that as it kind of started to roll out in late 22 and in 23, that there's going to be some enhancements. And then as, you know, Microsoft started to embrace it and then started to do the Copilot, you know, through our Microsoft partnership, you started to see more and more of how, okay, this is going to get integrated. And, you know, we saw a lot of growth in that market side, obviously, last year. But, you know, it feels like, it seems like as we roll into 2025 that, I mean, it's coming of age is probably more of the term I kind of see, where you can see it really turning, you know, into implementation. You're starting to see, you know, the evolutions are really starting to pick up as far as their overall impact directly into the businesses that, you know, we didn't see early on. You could do some early on, it's kind of parlor trick stuff, you know, kind of all, you know, they went through and progressed into business use cases, started to show up to now where it's just like, you just see like jaw dropping stuff. Like every day you can just find things and you're like, holy crap, this can really change things and start to be a measurable impact of how it kind of goes through. So it's super exciting to me. And I think, you know, as again, we're really just scratching the surface side of those, but the early, you know, just simple generative stuff now to the, where we're at with this agentic and between the agentic and the RAG, where you're connecting into, you know, relevant data sets and sending the proper context to use business data and its rationale on the other side of it, and to the power and the advancements of these models, it's exciting times. I mean, I think it's super exciting because it feels almost limitless what is going to be possible to do with getting information and results. It's almost limited by your own creativity, if that makes sense, of what you can orchestrate and ask it to do. But it seems like you have you have kind of superpowers at your disposal to go and do some pretty amazing stuff that would just, you just didn't put on the table because you just didn't have the manpower or the time to go do it. But it shortens it in such a small amount that you got room to think different. It's pretty exciting.
Todd, where was your sort of first experience with AI and those LLMs?
Sure. I mean, one of the first things that we really started exploring with the security world is there was actually a vendor of ours that we were working with that really started to help us out. So that was kind of my real first deep dive into what using AI would look like. And of course, at that time, you were getting a lot of pushback of whether this is really just machine learning versus really truly AI. But when it comes to the LLMs, similar to Kyle, my first experience was ChatGPT as well. And I feel somewhat embarrassed to say that how it worked for me was probably what most people do is you pop into it the first time, you do your first, for all intents and purposes, Google search and go, oh, that's mildly interesting. And then you move on to the next thing. And that was kind of how it started for me was, okay, well, there's some possibilities here. But at that time, I didn't really know a lot about it. And Kyle kind of alluded to this as well, is as you get much more exposure to it, your learning curve on it ramps up pretty quickly. And so Kyle was kind of mentioning, once you start to get your feet underneath you, the ramp up of the power that you have at your fingertips is pretty astronomical. It's remarkable. And I'm guessing we'll get into this a little bit further as we get into the conversation. But that was kind of how it started for me. It was ChatGPT. And then we started playing around with Copilot. And it was kind of like, okay, well, what can I do with this? Can I create articles? Can I do some writing with it? And so on and so forth. And as you do that, you kind of go, okay, well, what's next? And then all of a sudden, basically the doors get knocked off the hinges as you start to figure out really how to use the tools.
Do you remember like that first aha moment with AI?
Yeah, I mean, I'd been using it. And so but when I really felt the difference of, this is going to be a differentiator for me. I have some of the responsibilities of legal within the organization, and it's not my favorite part of the things that I do day in and day out. So as people are probably aware, as you work on the things that you're less finding joy in, they tend to be the things you procrastinate on, and you eventually get to them and you work through them. Well, the way legal works is it's a lot of back and forth, and the lawyers get involved, and it takes weeks and weeks and weeks. It's just kind of, in my opinion, not the most fun thing that you could potentially do. So my moment was I had some interactions with a prospect, and we were going back and forth, and they had some legal stuff that they wanted to review. And so I put it into AI and said, hey, I want you to look at this through the lens of a third party. So it's not just solely my lens where everything's in my favor or vice versa, the customer or prospect's lens. And I said, I want you to review this. Here's the request. Here's my concerns. Here's what I want you to do. And for what it's worth, we were using Copilot at that time. And it went through all of the things that I had some sort of relevance. It found the email that I was referring to. It found some legal documents that I had in my OneDrive. It went through all of that review and it popped it out. And so where I'm going with this is, long story short, that whole legal interaction took about 30 minutes of me prompting the AI and getting a result and then communicating back to the prospect, whereas historically that would take weeks. And so to me, that was the moment where I went, wow, this is a part of my job I really just didn't like doing. And the door has just now been completely kicked open where I have the capability of completing something in a reasonable, quote unquote, reasonable amount of time in getting the results I was looking for. And for what it's worth, when we had that interaction back with the prospect, their feedback was, you took this so seriously and your response was so quick. That was one of the best experiences I ever had. And while it wasn't perfect coming out of AI, it certainly got me so far down the path that it just completely changed the way I looked at legal work.
That's a great use case because, like it or not, legal is a part of every business.
They're long and boring documents. That's
not to everybody, but to me, yes.
I'd say for everybody outside the legal profession, that's probably a safe statement.
Yeah, I would agree.
Speaking of the aha moment, Kyle, was there a moment where you had said, this needs to be a part of our business? Because there's something about being excited about AI outside of work Was there a moment you can remember where you're like, this, we have to get in on the ground floor. We have to start implementing this.
Yeah. I mean, there's different aspects of it. So it's kind of culmination of a number of different, you know, events that kind of lead you to understand. One, just being in tune with the industry, you can kind of see the trends and you start to see things. But, you know, it's similar to the use case and example that, you know, Todd brings up. You factor in that component, you factor in conversations with our customers and their questions and answers how to do it. And for me, I mean, what really kind of turned the page is when you switch your idea of how you use AI to using it as a thought partner, not using it as a Google search like Todd alluded to, where you're learning how to prompt it correctly and how to, you know, stay in the driver's seat, but use it as a partner to handle complex thought process and complex problems on those other sides of it in a multitude of ways. And as soon as you start doing it and you see the results and it's good, and you get the other results, you're like, holy crap, that's even better. You go through those things, it kind of builds excitement, you know, because but to some of the Todd's, you start to see the results start to get you excited because you go and you're like, okay, there's no reason that nobody can, you know, that everybody should be able to use this in some aspect side of it because there's, we all have questions, you all have data, you all have different aspects side of it, you know, to kind of shift it from the simple Google search and the simple stuff. I say simple and it's slightly, you know, writing the email for you and doing those other things. Obviously, that's an advancement in its own self, but it seems simple today. You know, even that relatively short time frame compared to what you can do when you prompt it well with these new LLMs. And then the side that really got me excited was the agentic side when we had AI actually build an app off of just a business use case and spit it out in like under an hour, have a functional web app that worked doing API data. I mean, just blow your mind stuff that, I mean, it spit out thousands of lines of code into a functional, well, nice looking application to be able to actually function side of that is mind blowing. And where you can see that it's not just giving you the generative stuff, but actually, you know, helping you accomplish tasks of it. It is like having, you know, unlimited kind of assistance that can do a multitude of things. If you give it the direction, you're finding you're steering it well and you know how to do it. For me, it just built up a lot of excitement. And I think there's just a lot of potential for Sino that can enhance everybody in the workforce. So you can get them out of some of these trivial things that we all spend time just moving and shifting through, trying to find the data, to getting into more customer interactions, more steering of the ship, more proactive thought process, more proactive problem solving, you know, where you're actually now improving yourself rather than just, you know, trying to stay above water. And then hopefully you get a few things done. You actually can get some more strategic time to actually do some things to actually advance both for the services to the customer as well as your personal career that you can actually advance in what you can do.
Yeah, this will be a little jargony and maybe a little too corporate, but when you had kind of mentioned what does AI first mean, I kind of left the statement as it was, but as Kyle's talking, one of the things that comes into my head is we're trying to use, and this is kind of the ahas, if you will, is it's not just another, I'm adding AI for the sake of adding AI, right? It's not just a boom, here it is, and now you can talk to it through the LLM interface. It's really being able to rethink how your operations work, how products work, basically building your strategies that help move the business along. So the example Kyle's using, this is just something that we typically would have taken weeks, months to kind of muscle through and probably would have taken a lot of human fingers on keyboards kind of work. He was able to turn something around in an hour or so that automated the process entirely. So you're able to rethink how you did things on a fundamental level. And it's just a game changer. So that's kind of where we're coming from is what does it mean and why are we pursuing it? It's reasons like that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that insight. And one of the things that I wrote down when you were talking, Kyle, was from search to thought partner. And I think there's a bunch of industries that are still in that search kind of mind frame. And you have like a first step, some baby steps in order to get through that progression to thought partner.
I think if you look at the LLM as you do any other coworker or, you know, if you were to have, you know, a human assistant or the other sides of it, only as good as the information you provide it, your results are going to mirror that. If I asked you to do a task and I gave you just a one-line sentence of every, and then I expect you to elaborate, you were supposed to figure everything else out, I'm probably going to get mediocre results back from you as well, you know? Because if I just say, go to the grocery store, and then you're supposed to just extrapolate exactly what I needed from the grocery store, you know, you're going to get it. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's the way I used to do it in AI, just very simple phrases. I hate to say almost kind of lazy, you know, prompting into there. And then results you got back, you're like, you know, I think Tony said, you're like, and he moved on, you know, you're just like, it wasn't that great. But if you're clear on the perspective to say, take, you know, Tyler, just take the perspective of the third party, take, you know, act as a lawyer, act as this is the perspective I want to have. So it has, that's a, and then give it context. So it understands what it is it's supposed to be taken into account. I mean, and these can be long. I mean, you can put in a very, very long detailed side. You're going to get far better results the more you put into it. So if you spend some time building that context, and even use an AI to help you if that's even kind of a cool thing, you know, but as you build that out, then clear on the task of what you want it to do, and then clear on the outcome. When you combine all those elements together, the results you get from it are so, so much better. And we read through a book side of it, and one of the tips you put in there was to ask it to interview you, you know, and ask you just one question at a time. So, you know, that's even a strong enabler. So, you know, it can be intimidating sometimes. Like, well, I don't know what questions to ask it. So, you know, you don't kind of know where to start. But you can just kind of say, act as this. Here's my problem. Here's the outcome. Ask me one question at a time. And when you feel you have enough, then give me the results in this side of it. And you'd be amazed at how well it comes back and asks you the questions of how well it can structure the information to get you such powerful side back. So it's, after all that rambling me, it's kind of garbage in, garbage out is really it comes to. But, and so think of it as a person is the other way to do it. Is if you're going to have somebody that's going to be an assistant, you paid somebody to be your assistant to help you, be prepared to, you know, give it clear line of instructions and give it expected outcomes and set some expectations, and it really changes the game on how you come out of it. And the only other aspect I'll lend that I've learned over, especially the last few months, I've really been very heavy into it side of it is understanding the different LLM models and understanding, you know, just like people, they have different skills. They have different abilities that they shine on, and you want to use the right, you know, engagement. They're not all the same. I mean, ChatGPT and Gemini, for example, are very good on the creative side of it. You need creative ideas and concept sides. You know, they'll hallucinate. They'll try to please you inside of it. So you have to do some check side of it, where you can go into, you know, models like Perplexity, you know, are very search-based. They're very fact-orientated side of it. They got a different use case. And then you can get into the, you know, the Claude side that has a lot of data security and a lot of data protection side of it. So again, these models have strengths and weaknesses to them side of it. And sometimes you have to pivot and understand where your strongest use case. The final one, like Copilot and Microsoft's, being internally focused and having, you know, the Graph API access to your Microsoft information within your site, and it's secure, so more data sensitivity and data privacy is in play, is not as creative as ChatGPT, but it's highly effective in the work environment for data analysis and those other sides of it. So you do need to, there's a bit of a learning curve to kind of understand those things, at least more, I think, in more of the power users and those other sides of doing it as you kind of shift through. But finding the right platform for your expected outcome, you know, greatly enhances the results you get to.
Yeah, thank you. I'm learning stuff too. You know, there's so many models out there, and there's so little time. Let's just say that, right?
Like, yeah, there is. Yeah, there
and,
is.
And so being able to even just coming to your technology partner like CIT and saying, hey, here's what I have. I may not have the answers right now, but I know at least one or two people on this call that do. And so I appreciate that insight, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, you know, we all wake up tomorrow and there'll be a new one, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What I told you. So it's like, it's probably highly dated now that I already said all these things, but it is exciting. It's interesting to watch, but I think it is empowering to understand that a little bit and direct. And that's one of the visions we have for CIT sides, where we're from our customers, is to help them understand and educate and consult and identify the right tool for the job. It's not going to be a one size fits all, like many technology solutions are not. I mean, you have to find the right use cases, and it's usually you have multitude of different packages that you bring together to drive the business forward and engage it.
So kind of thinking about businesses and coming over, is we kind of had legal before. Do you believe that there's something AI is able to help most, or you know, a majority of businesses with, to start off with right away?
100%.
Yeah. Hundreds, thousands.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think it's...
I'll expand on it briefly. I mean, but kind of expanding on what Kyle was getting at. I mean, if you prompted appropriately, you'd be stunned that you wouldn't be able to find something out there. The comment that Kyle had is, ask me one question at a time. I would at some point tell AI that there are so many questions you wanted to
cap out. You could say up to 10 questions too. Yeah. That's
right. Because if you don't, it will just keep on asking you questions, which is interesting if you're using it as a thought partner, because really what it's like doing is starts to get to a point where you're essentially acting like a peer, right? It gets to a point where you're making the decision, which is great. It's probably how it should be, but you have the ability to bounce it off there. But as an example of expanding on that, is one of the tasks that I gave our senior leadership team as we were going into strategic planning is, here's a prompt that I want you to run. And that prompt, I had it tailored to everybody's department. So if you're in accounting, it's a different prompt than it is for sales or the technical delivery teams. And basically what I'm having, that the general concept was more or less the same, right? I'm saying, look for a use case where I have the ability to impact efficiency or scalability, customer experience, et cetera. And if you're thinking about it in that context, it's inevitable you're going to get great feedback out from it. So just in that small use case, it'll totally impact every organization out there. But then to get into the comments that I was talking about, when we get into agentic, again, you're kind of kicking the doors open and your possibilities expand dramatically.
Yeah, I think what Todd's alluding to side of it, I think anybody that, you know, if you have to make some business decisions, or, you know, you're in sales, you can have it be, you know, you can challenge your thought process. You can say, take the perspective of my customer, and I want you to review this proposal. I want you to you can say, be this type of customer, and I'm going to give you the sales pitch. It can give you the critique you on that. You can use it for, you know, interview, you know, staging. You can use it for, you know, sort of internal for staffing. You can prompt it to do, you know, a multitude of different things to allow you to be, again, that thought partner, to kind of think through that stuff that just weighs on your mind sometimes, because it's a difficult thought exercise to go through, because there's so many gates to kind of work your mind through that, you know, our human minds just kind of get fatigued through it, and you can't quite get over it. So you go weeks and weeks and weeks and you can't kind of get over it. It can be very good at just getting through that exercise, right? Just go through it. It can help, you know, call some of the obvious. And, you know, again, I keep quoting a book, this is AI Driven Leadership, and this is where some of all this stuff comes from, because it's a fantastic book. But one of the key lines he uses in there, he goes, it's tough to read the label while you're inside the box. And he says it a multitude of times, and it's very accurate. So, you know, by using AI to show you what you don't see, because we have confirmation bias, we have, you know, own things, it can enable you to get that insight that you can't see yourself. So decision makers, all those other people have great use cases. And then you get into the operational aspects where it's being integrated. You know, for us, it's being integrated into our ticketing and support systems. It's being integrated into our delivery system sides on those to drive and automate and allow our customers to get, you know, self-service.
I mean, I like where you're going, but again, I think the possibilities are nearly endless. We actually, I did this earlier today, is we are doing a leadership training program within CIT, and we've actually created prompts that help you through it. So again, it's like, hey, I'm going to have a prompt that says, this is what an employee's reaction is, and then it prompts you as the manager to work through it, which is a fantastic exercise. But as I was doing that as a test, if you will, of what would it come back with and how does it interact with me? And basically, it's your practice, right? Your role-playing practice. At the end of it, I then prompted it and said, what could I have done better? And it came back with three examples of, this is what you did great. Here's three things that I think you could have done differently. And I was like, fantastic feedback. Sometimes you get lost in the moment, right? And you don't think about little things that are like that. But point being is, you now have a partner that is able to give you immediate feedback. It all is impactful. And it could be something as simple as training, or it could be as simple or as more complex as a technology solution to automate your processes. It's remarkable where these tools are going.
I feel like it's maybe humbling sometimes, because it's like, you didn't, but it comes off as, here's another idea, not, you didn't think about this, but, you know, kind of humbling of just like, oh yeah, well, I didn't think of that. That's a great way to think about it. So that's part of it too. And being verbose about the prompts is something that comes to mind with, compared to search, is, correct me if I'm wrong, but like search, we always tried to like narrow down the fluff words in between when it came to Google and different things. But now it's like, give it everything. Make that prompt especially for what you need, and you're going to get what you want. Is that kind of, do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really interesting. As I was kind of said, I built this prompt for my leadership team to work with. As I was building the prompt, I was testing it, and some of the testing I did is I had made the prompt so specific that I got a very specific result. It didn't matter who ran it. And so I was kind of going back and forth on it. But what I ended up doing was making sure that I got it the way I wanted it, which was, again, designed to be departmental specific. But one of the things that I think is incredibly interesting about it is when you get the results, you're usually so incredibly surprised by it. You're like, I need to share this information. Mm-hmm. And then you send it to somebody else and go, run this prompt.
Yeah, you get back and you're like, holy crap, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
You didn't read, you're like, that's really good. Yeah, it's kind of stunning when it does that. Come back. But I think on your prompt line, Andrew, again, I made a short mention side of it. Asking AI to help you write the prompt is a powerful tool too. To say, write me an expert prompt for this. And it'll do it. Then you just tweak it. I mean, and you can just do a few back and forths with that. And then I built a Notion database side. I'm storing prompts in this Notion database based on types. And I just have them categorized side of it, so I can recall types of prompts and I don't have to write as much out side of it, just customize it. But I kind of found myself needing, you know, wanting to recall these other prompts, and I didn't want to search through past chats all the time to kind of go through those sides of it. And I'm using multiple, you know, LLMs at this point. So I'm kind of like, okay, this is getting unwieldy and I don't know where I'm going. It's kind of all over the place. So having that prompt database has been kind of helpful. But the prompt is huge. I mean, I think spend time, give it context. If you spend that extra time, you won't regret it. You're going to get far better results with the extra time to go on the front side.
Yeah. And I was trying to, you could say, prompt you guys for a response of like, you know, where, what kind of example prompt you could have. But I think maybe that's a great place to start if you don't know how to prompt, right? Like, literally ask it, how do I prompt to get, you know, competitor business ideas? Or, you know, how do I prompt to draft this job application is kind of interesting. So
yeah just put in there and just say, give it a persona and just say, act as a ChatGPT expert and help write an expert prompt for this. Mm-hmm. And see what it gives you from that. And in the other cool trick side of it too is you can then ask it to say, tell me why you prompted it this way, and it'll train you as to why it's structured the prompts that way, so you can start writing your own prompts even better. So there's a multitude of ways you can approach it. You can start there and then say, give me suggestions on this prompt, and it can do that too. You know, so again, that's where it's just like your mind can just start going on just new creative ways to think through what you're trying to accomplish, and it can enable those sides of it. And it just kind of goes and goes and goes. I mean, I'm finding myself a little daunted. It's like, I'm going to try this prompt and just kind of go through it. And then I kind of park it and then go tweak it again and go through those things. But, you know, it just feels like you get kind of excited because there's so much great results to get back. And it is fun to experiment with it, because for the most part, I mean, unless you're doing those high expensive, you know, deep learning model stuff on it, you can experiment, you know, this. So what? It gave you a bad result. Try it again, tweak it and give it another one. It's not like, you know, it's most part, it's not costing you, you know, you're not paying $10 every time you ask it. That's just go through a little learning exercise stuff on it, and you'll get better at it, and you'll start seeing the better results. And the more you see the better results, the more you use it, and it kind of built on itself. That's been my experience with it. It's gotten better the more I've educated myself on how to use it better.
My quick wrap-up question is, you know, staying on this becoming an AI-first company, how do you, you know, we've talked about all of these different tools and your aha moments. Now, how do you get the buy-in from your leadership, from the people? What is sort of some advice or steps you would each take to get the buy-in from the rest of the company?
I'll take a quick stab at it. So essentially the approach that I'm taking with CIT, or we're taking, is one of the things I want everybody to do is, as I mentioned, I built this prompt that I want the leaders of the organization to do it. And the reason why I want them to do it is because the way I wrote the prompt was exactly what I said. Ask me 5-10 questions about the things that I'm working through or struggling with, the challenges that I have. And that makes them have automatic buy-in, right? It's now fixing a problem that they're currently doing. So just in case you're curious how this works, is as they're prompting it, the AI is coming back and saying, what is the problem that you deal with most in a day? And so you're essentially feeding it, this part of my job or my department is not functional ideally, help me through it. And it's coming back and it's giving them feedback. So the reason why I bring this up is because I now have instant buy-in from the various leaders, because it's solving their problems and they're now in charge of solving their own problems. So that's a good way to get things going. The way that adoption goes generally is you've got a bell curve. You've got those really early adopters. We have them. You can tell Kyle's one of them. And then once you get to about halfway, it'll be the tipping point and the organization will come along with you. So we've been trying to do that encouragement piece just in general. But then, like I said, I am somewhat guiding them. Here's how I want you to behave. Here's what I want you to think. So when we go into strategic planning, they've already got stuff that they've been working through, and we'll now have a productive conversation that's coming out of it. So that's just one of the ways we're doing it. And then again, my point earlier is, if you can encourage your early adopters to keep going without putting too many guardrails in the way where they're just going to get mad at you and get frustrated, that would be ideal as well.
Yeah. I think that's great. The goal is start with leadership and management side of those. And then we're looking at operational impacts, as I kind of alluded to, within the platform system. So the users and staff will have interactions with it, you know, albeit not direct, like typical LLM chatting for the most part, but be available. We're looking at, the Azure OpenAI to bring in an internal chat bot for certain aspects and lookup sides of it. We're definitely leveraging Copilot, you know, for a continuous collaborative side of those, and then training the leadership and the other sides to use as a thought partners is our, you know, kind of initial approach to doing that. And then it's quite simply just being, you know, highly encouraged and enthusiastic about encouraging the use of AI wherever possible, that it can at least, you know, how can it help? And asking that question and here's to see how we come up with new and better ways to help us do better. You don't want to force it. I mean, you don't want to have it be, you know, you're not trying to find use, just find the problem, you know, have the problem and then just ask how AI can help. And that's basically what Todd's prompt is kind of directing them to. It's just highlighting the problem. It's asking them, what is the problem? So, and that's what we want to do. And then there's an educational process that we're going through on it, but you got to be patient. People are people. And like Todd said, I know we have a number of people in the organizations that are very AI engaged and use it already. So it's like, there'll be part of the early adopters and we're getting great encouragement. We reviewed our usage policy side of those to focus on training. But again, as I mentioned, tools to say it's not going to be just limited to you know, you have to use Microsoft's Copilot, you know, that will open it up and say, if you need a different LLM for your use case side of it, will allow the use of those LLMs just be cognitive of the data you're putting into it, you know, and say these are the data privacy, data sensitivity side, it has to be understood. But I think that's what a lot of organizations are going to have to understand to garner the most out of that is it's not, you have to be open. You got to be willing to embrace the and encourage the employees you have that are excited and drive it because you're going to see some results. You're going to see the results. I know the popular metrics like 40% productivity gains, which you hear pretty standard. And it's very believable when you see the results if used right. Yeah, and I think that's the key. They have to be using it in the proper manner, which what we already kind of talked
about. Yeah, definitely. And we have plenty of other podcasts about how to do that. You know, we've got AI policy, we've got some compliance podcasts, some cybersecurity, and just some fun, you know, prompting podcasts that I'll make sure to link below. But thank you so much, Andrew, for helping us on our journey today, and Kyle and Todd for joining us and sharing all of your thoughts. I appreciate it. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Map record. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.